tape recorded message number TL-543. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19, and we begin our Bible reading with verse 1. I am using Farrar Fenton's version of the Proverbs. I do not find Fenton's version to be especially valuable in other books, although I do prize some of his straightforward translations of many books. And nevertheless, in the book of Proverbs, I have found them most satisfactory. Fenton tries not to add too many words. He tries to keep these maxims or these proverbs just as simple as they were in the Hebrew. Now, for example, here in this first verse in the King James Version, it says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." But when Farrar Fenton brings it out, not adding any words whatsoever, just seeking to express the Hebrew as best that he can, he says, "Prefer a poor man going straight to a tricky rogue, though rich." Now that's simple and that's plain. In the second verse we read, "An ignorant soul is not happy, for that urges the feet to sin. A man's vices pervert his course. Then his heart kicks against the Lord." Now that's simple. It needs no word of explanation that a man's vices will pervert his course, and then his heart will kick against the Lord. Verse 4, "Wealth secures us many friends, but companions depart from the poor." Verse 5, "A false witness will not be guiltless, nor a spouter of lies escape. Many wait on the face of a prince, and all are friends to a man who gives. All a poor man's brothers hates him. His friends even go far away. They are gone when he follows with words. Who buys reflection, loves himself. Who keeps understanding, find the profit. A false witness will not be unpunished, and a spouter of lies will fail. Finery becomes not a clown, nor that a slave should rule over princes. Good sense makes a man forbearing, and to pass by offenses crowns him. A king's wrath is a roaring lion, but his favor like dew upon grass. A reckless son distresses his father. A contentious wife is a drifting rain. A house and wealth they send from parents, but a sensible wife from the Lord. Idleness drops to stupid sleep, and the indolent person to hunger. Who keeps to his orders saves his life. Who delays on his road may be killed. He lends to the Lord who helps the poor, who will repay him as much again. Correct your son while there is hope, and bear not his death on your soul. The furious tempered will suffer hurt, for if forgiven, he never amends. Hear advice and take a warning, and be wiser by the results. Man has many plans in his mind, but the Lord's intention endures. To do kindness makes a man liked, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord brings life." Over and over in the book of Proverbs, Solomon will deal with the importance of the reverence, that all are expected to have for the Lord, whom we know to exist, and to exist as a present reality. Here he says, the fear of the Lord brings life, and whom it fills will not feel grief. The sluggard dips his hand in the dish, but does not bring back to his mouth. He's too lazy. He can dip his hand in the dish, but too lazy really to profit by it, by bringing it back to his mouth. Punish a scorner, and fools learn sense, but reproof to the wise breeds thought. Who robs his father and drives his mother is a son of shame and reproach. The fullness of this would be, he robs his father and drives his mother from her possessions. He's a son of shame and reproach. Refrain, my son, to attend to advice that leads from the words of knowledge. A false witness scoffs at justice, and a wicked mouth swallows villainy. But justice is ready for scoffers, and stripes for the rascal's back. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink maddens, and all it deludes are not wise. We continue in the 20th chapter. That's the first verse. Begins here with wine being a mocker. Strong drink can drive a man to insanity, and those whom it deludes are not wise. He says, second verse, a king's wrath is a raging lion. Who enrages him risks his life. It honors a man to keep from strife, but every fool will begin it. A sluggard who plows not because of cold will beg and harvest for want. Thought in a man's heart is like deep water, but a skillful man draws it out. Men often meet a man who is kind, but a trustworthy man who can find. Whoever goes straight in goodness, his children are blessed after him. A king who sets justice beside his throne expels all the bad from his sight. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart? I have washed myself from my sins. Different weights and varying measures, both alike, will disgust the Lord. Even in childhood, a child is known if he loves to do wrong or right. Yes, these traits can be seen in childhood. Even in childhood, a child is known if he loves to do wrong or right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye were both the work of the Lord. Love not sleep, lest you become poor. Open eyes and gain plenty of bread. It is worthless, worthless, the buyer cries, but when by himself he praises. What homely wisdom that is. The man wanting to buy something says it's worthless, but then when by himself he praises it. There is gold and plenty of pearls, but the lips of knowledge are precious things. Take his cloak who warrants a stranger, and his pledge who brings a loose woman. Lying bread may be sweet to a man, but it fills his mouth with grit in the end. Arrange your plans with counsel, and make your war with precaution. A tattler goes telling secrets, so approach not his open lips. Who reviles his father and mother is in darkness, puts out his lamp. Wealth may be gotten quickly at first, but the results of it do not last. Say not, I will revenge that wrong, but trust in the Lord who will help you. Varying weights disgust the Lord, and dishonest scales are wrong. A man's career comes from the Lord, for who of mankind knows his road? It disgraces a man to deny his promise, and after his vow to back out. A wise king drives off the wicked, and brings his blower against them. The lamp of the Lord in the spirit of man explores the caves of the breast. Mercy and truth defend a king, for his throne is founded on mercy. Their strength is the glory of youthful men, but gray heads the honor of the old. To bind a wound protects from harm, and sufferings the depths of the mind. That ends the 20th chapter. Now we continue into the 21st. I remind you once again that I'm simply reading the version of Farrar Fenton because I believe that it's simple and it comes right into the truth. Now, I like to mention before we go on here that these proverbs were written and assembled, rather, not written, but they were assembled 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. 1000 B.C. is the date that we would give to these. But then as we realize there's been 2,000 years at that time, we know that this is 3,000 years from the present time in which we live. And when you go back over 3,000 years, men's way of thinking changes, God's way of dealing changes, and so on. This was a dispensation of promise, but it was not a dispensation of grace. So many of these things just do not apply to the time in which we live, but every one of them will apply when we come into the kingdom of God. Those that have meaning to that time, we will find that they'll follow a pattern and they will fit that pattern and there'll be no variation. We read in the 21st chapter, the first verse, "The hand of the Lord holds the mind of a king. He turns it toward whatever he will." Now the king that Solomon speaks about were the kings of Israel. And the Lord did hold the minds of those kings. And he turns it toward whatever he wills. But to spread this out and make it applicable for all times, especially in those times when men are permitted to walk after their own ways, God's only calling upon men everywhere to submit. Verse 2, "All of a man's ways are right in his eyes, but the Lord will weigh his intents. To practice right and justice will please the Lord more than offerings. A haughty eye and a greedy heart are the seeds of sin in the bad," that is, the bad people. "The plans of the active procure gain, but those of the idle, they bring want. Who earn wealth by a lying tongue hunt risk and a sudden death. The plunder of the bad afflicts them, and yet they refuse to do right. The criminal's path is rough. His who practices right is smooth. Better to live alone on the top of a house than with brawling wives in its parlor." How well Solomon knew, having multiplied to himself wives and making his political alliances. "The wicked heart desires evil. His friend never pleases his eyes. To punish a rogue instructs the weak, and the wise who reflect gain knowledge. The wicked house instructs the good, for the bad are overthrown by their sin." Meaning of that is that the good look upon a wicked house, and it gives them instructions. They say, "I can learn from that, not to follow that road. For the bad are overthrown by their sin. Who stops his ear to the cry of the poor, he will cry, and none will answer. A timely gift appeases rage, and a bribe in the pocket, great wrath. The righteous delight to do right, and to blot out the doers of wrong. The man who quits the pathway of sense leaves his home for the sake of shadows. The poor man who loves enjoyment and wine and oil will never be rich." You know, the Lord said, "The poor ye have with you always." And I think as long as there is alcohol and gambling, we will always have the poor with us. Well, Solomon said the same thing 3,000 years ago, that the poor man who loves pleasure, loves wine and oil, will never be rich. The wicked should ransom the righteous, and the swindler be changed for the honest. Better to live in a desert land than with a nagging, passionate wife. Stored goods and oil remain with the wise, but the stupid fellow will swallow. The followers of goodness and mercy find life and profit and honor. Skill can assail a town of heroes and reduce its strongest fort. Who can keep his mouth and his tongue keeps the fortress containing his soul. He is called an insolent bully who acts in his ruffian fury. Now, there's a change here, and the next two verses deal with the folly of idleness, laziness. It says in four lines here, the desire of the idle kills him, for his hands refuse to work. He longs all day for his wish, while the honest work and want not. That's speaking of the daydreamer, who always dreams of, shall we say, hitting the jackpot, or winning in the lottery, but he doesn't want any honest work. Now, the next five maxims speak of the folly of rascals. It says here, the offering of sinners disgusts, for they bring it with evil intent. A witness for falsehood will stammer, but a man who is heard speaks firm. A bully is bold in his face, but the honest is calm before him. No skill or no understanding or counsel can fight with the Lord. Train the horse for the time of war, yet the victory comes from the Lord. Now, the next has to do with prudence and conduct of life. A good name is choicer than wealth, good repute than much silver and gold. It's chapter 22, verse 1 that I was reading. The rich and the poor mix together, for the Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent sees danger and hides. The foolish go on and suffer. The Lord has provided reward for the meek, with riches, honor, and life. The sullen has 1,000 traps on his road, but who keeps his temper is free. Train a child in the way he should go. He will not desert it when old. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower serves the lender. Who sows for sin will misery reap, and the staff of his passions will break. The beneficent-eyed will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the needy. Expel a scoffer, and quarreling goes, and strife and abuse will depart. The lover of a pure, kind heart has a royal friend at his lips. The eyes of the Lord guard knowledge and defeat the plans of the villain. The sluggard says, a lion outside, I'm sure to be killed in the streets. He recognizes all kind of dangers. Because somebody's killed on the road, he won't go on the road. He says, there's a lion outside, I'm sure to be killed in the streets. A deep pit is a loose woman's mouth. Those who anger the Lord will fall in it. Folly enwraps the heart of the young. The rod of correction removes it. Who plunders the poor to enrich himself must give to the rich and be ruined. Now, that had to do with prudence and the conduct of life. But now in the next five verses, or I said the next five maxims or proverbs, once again, he's going to deal with the value of wisdom. Attend and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my teachings, for they comfort if kept with you. So place them and fix on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you now, yes, yourself. Have I not written to you till now, concerning instruction and knowledge, to teach you to weigh the words of truth, and to answer inquiries aright? Now, here comes a parenthetical portion, and he sets forth three separate rules. That's what these deal with. Verse 22, rob not the weak for his weakness. Many are doing this today. They're just robbing the weak because they are weak. And repulse not the poor from your gate, for the Lord will defend their claim and strip those who strip them of life. Now the next rule, consort not with a quarrelsome man. With a furious fellow, go not, for fear you should copy his pass, and you would acquire a risk for your mind. The third rule, be not with those who strike hands, who make themselves bondsmen for debts. If you have not the wherewith to pay, your bed will be taken from you. So do not remove the old fence which your fathers had built around. Now, this next maxim deals with industry, work. Watch a man constant at work. He will stand before kings, not the low. But watch a man constant at work. He will stand before kings, not stand before the low. Now on temperance. Temperance in eating, drinking. If you sit down to dine with the ruler, consider well what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man of keen taste, and do not desire his dainties, for they are a food that deceives. The next passage deal with the eager, or a too eager, we might say, pursuit of wealth. Exhaust not yourself to be rich. Take a rest, that you may reflect. The wealth flies from your sight and is not, for it grows, then spreads wings for itself, like an eagle that flies to the skies. Isn't that homely wisdom, though, as it speaks of the bird growing, the eagle growing, and then it takes wings? And wealth that is too eagerly sought is certainly like that. Now, this has to do with the unwilling host. People are often just simply moving in with people to live with them for a while and not have to pay for any hotel, shall we say, or buy any meals. And what's given to them is given begrudgingly, but they don't seem to mind this. Here it says, eat not the bread of the grudger, and desire none of his sweets. He is like the thoughts of his soul, even though he asks you to eat and to drink. Yet his heart is never with yours. You will vomit the mouthful you eat, and you'll be sick of your pleasant discourse. Speak not to the ears of a fool who despises instructive discourse. That's the very folly of trying to teach fools. If they despise instructive discourse, speak not to the ears of the fool. On honesty, the ancient landmark remove not, nor encroach on the orphan's land, for their defender has power and conducts their defense against you. Now we have advice to parents. Present your heart to instruction, and your ears to the teachings of fact. Refrain not correcting your child, whom the strokes of a rod will not kill. You can flog him yourself with a rod and rescue his life from the grave. Now comes an appeal from Solomon to his son. My son, if your heart will be wise, my heart will be glad, yes, my own. And the depths of my breast will exult when I hear your lips speaking right. And let not your heart envy sinners, but be always in fear of the Lord. for a future condition is certain. Therefore, cut not yourselves from your hopes. So listen, my son, and be wise, and proceed with your heart in my way. Go not with the deep drinkers of wine, nor join in their riotous feasts. For the drunkard and glutton make poor, and sleeping, laziness, will clothe you in rags. So attend to the father who got you, and despise not your mother when old. Buy truth, and sell it not again, with wisdom, instruction, and sense. For the father of the good will be glad, who has a wise son can rejoice. Make your father and mother content, that they may be glad you were born. Now comes a short warning about vice, 26 to verse 28 of the present chapter, 23. My son, give your heart up to me, and let your eyes look on my ways. For a loose woman is a deep ditch, and a whore is a pit of distress. For she lies in wait for her plunder, and increases the vices of men. Now he will deal with intoxication, drunkenness. Who have woe? Who have misery and brawls? Who have wounds? Who have objectless strife? With whom are the red gleaming eyes? Are they not with the seekers of wine? Who go out to search for the best? Look not on the wine that is red, when his eye dances right in the cup, for it afterward stings like a snake, and its bite like an adder inflames. Loose women your eyes will regard, and your heart vomit out what disgusts. And though laid in the heart of the sea, and stretched on the deck of a ship, let them strike me, I suffer no pain. Let them beat me, I never shall care. When I wake, I'll seek it again. This speaks, of course, of those who had been shanghaied, drunken men who stretched out on the decks of a ship. But they could strike him, he suffered no pain. Beat him, he'd never care. When he waked, he'd sink drink again. That's against drunkenness. Now, the next portion has to do, this is chapter 24, and this has to do with, this six verses has to do with envying those who are wicked, bad. And it says, feel no envy about wicked men, nor wish for yourselves to be them. When their heart is contriving a fraud, or their lips are discussing to cheat, by wisdom a house is built up, and founded by means of good sense, and by knowledge its chambers are filled, with comforts and all that is nice. For the wise can prevail over strength, and the skilled man can conquer the strong. For with caution you must make your fight, and your victory by plenty of thought. Now comes the uselessness of envying fools, verses 7, 8, and 9. Wise thoughts are too high for a fool. Let him ope not his mouth in the court. His ideas can but injure himself. They will call him a bungler of thought. The ideas of a fool are no worth, and a scoffer disgusts humankind. Now, the next three verses deal with the need of courage in distress. If you fail in a time of distress, by an effort to recover your strength, rescue those who are led out to death and who go to be slain if you can. If you say, what know we about him? Will not the heart searcher perceive? And he knows who has guard to your life, who returns to a man what he does. The next verses have to do with wise pleasure, wise enjoyment. He says, eat honey, my son, because sweet, nice to the roof of your mouth. So is knowledge of thought to your soul, for you know what a future exists, and therefore your hopes will not die. He tells us now that good will not defeat evil. He goes from subject to subject. He says, "Villain, watch not the home of the good. Assail not the place of his rest. The good falls and will rise seven times, but the wicked crash down with a smash." Now he speaks of malicious joy. "Be not glad when your enemy fails. Rejoice not your heart at his loss, lest the Lord see and it grieve his eyes, and he turn back his anger from him." Now, this next two verses are Solomon's words against enjoying the bad. "Enrage not yourself for the bad. Do not envy the luck of the vile, for there is no future for vice. The lamp of the wicked goes out." Simple words, plain words, but that's it. There's no future for vice. The lamp of the wicked goes out. This has to do with honor paid to God and to the king. "My son, fear the Lord and the king. With the changeful associate not, for swift will their punishment be, and who knows the injury of both." Now, this is just maxims for the wise, proverbs for the wise. To regard station in judgment is wrong. When you make any judgment and you regard station, the standing of a man, that's wrong. Who says to the wrong, "You are right"? "Peoples curse and the nations will hate, but they will love all who oppose, and come to present them with thanks, and put a sweet kiss on their lips in return for their comforting words." This deals with forethought. Do the work for yourself in the field, and after that, build up a house. And this has to do with slander, the next two verses. "Speak not what is false of your neighbor, and be not seduced by your lips. Say not, as he did to me, I will do to the man what he did." The Lord repeated this in what we commonly call the golden rule, "As ye would therefore that men do unto you, do ye likewise to them." Solomon repeats this in negative fashion, and just say not, "As he did it to me, I will do to the man what he did." Now it speaks of the home of the sluggard, the lazy man. "I passed by the farm of the sluggard, but the garden by the garden of him without sense, and saw thistles were all that it grew, and nettles had covered his face, and the wall built to fence it had fallen. So I looked, and I laid it to heart. I observed, and a lesson received. A little more sleep, a little more hunger, with a little more folding of the hands to lie down. So your poverty comes, an invader, and your want like a man with a shield." Now that is the end of Solomon's advice to his son. That's the end of Book 3 of the Proverbs. And this brings us into the 25th chapter and the beginning of verse 4. These are also the Proverbs of Solomon. And they were selected by Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And here is what he has to say. "'Tis the honor of God to conceal an event, but the honor of kings to search it out." Now, personally, I prefer King James Version right there. I guess I've kind of fallen in love with this passage. It's the honor of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. The honor of kings to search it out. Now, God does hide matters. But kings upon whom every worldly and earthly honor sometimes given, they can get honor from God by searching something out. So don't complain that the Bible is deep and you don't understand. Search it out. the height of the skies and the depth of the earth, and the hearts of the king are unsearchable. On removing the dross from the silver, the metal comes out for use. So remove all the bad from a king, and his throne will then rest on the good. Now this has to do with making a display, ostentation. Show not display in the sight of a king, nor assume the position of honor. For better be asked, come up here, than put down in the sight of the prince, whose eyes have been looking on you. Verse 8, go not in haste into strife. Reflect what may be the result. Should your neighbor prevail against you, so discuss the affair with your neighbor. But to another reveal not the thing, lest he should report your mistake, and you cannot withdraw what you said. Now this has to do with wise conversation, social intercourse, where men sit down to talk. Like golden apples on silver plates is a word for a word in its turn. Men give a word and receive a word in its turn. Like a ring of gold with a precious gem, to a listening ear is a wise instructor. Like an ice cooler in time of harvest is a trusty messenger to his sender, for his master's mind is refreshed. A man is clouds and wind without rain, who falsely boasts he is liberal. It's a false boast of liberality. A prince is persuaded by patience, and a soft tongue will break down the strong. If you find honey, eat but a little, lest you surfeit of it and be sick. Restrain your foot in the house of your friend, lest he be disgusted and hate you. Like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man false accusing, that is, slandering his neighbor. An aching tooth and a foot out of joint is trust on a traitor in danger. Like a stripping of clothes on a wintry day and vinegar poured on a trembling nerve is singing songs to an aching heart. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give water to drink, and a fire besides for his needs, and then the Lord will repay you. The north wind produces a shower, and a slandering tongue, an angry face. Better to dwell on the top of a roof than with a quarreling wife in a parlor. As cold water to weary men is good news from a distant land. As a muddled brook and a ruined wall is the good afraid of the bad. To eat much honey is not well, or for honored to seek for honor. As a scattered town without a wall is a man of ungoverned temper. Like snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor becomes not a fool. Like a wandering bird and a swallow's flight, so the causeless curse will not come. A whip for a horse, a rein for an ass, but a rod for the back of a fool. Answer no fool like his folly, lest you make yourself like to him. Reply to a fool as his folly requires, lest he seem to be wise in his own eyes. Like a legless man, greedy for plunder, is entrusting affairs to a fool. As a lame man's shanks swing loose, wit does in the mouth of fools. That's wit is wisdom. Like a sparkling gem among rubbish, is honor conferred on a fool. Like a thorn in the hand of a drunkard, a proverb is in the mouth of a fool. Here he does with a troop of fools, a company of them. Many reel and shout when drunk. Yet a fool and a drunkard are proud. Like a dog returns to his vomit, a fool returns to his folly. See a man wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than for him. Well, I need to find a place to make a break, and this seems to be a good place to do it. So right there we will stop until we can come again around the Word of God for another Bible reading. I'm reading to you, of course, from Farrar Fenton's version of the Book of Proverbs. These are so much in meter, and there are so few ads worded, and I believe that the translation is so good. It's not modern. It was modern in the day, quite modern in the day when it was made, but it was made back about the time that I was born. That's a long time ago, so anything that's almost 100 years of age is not going to be strictly modern. Well, that brings our study to a close. It has been my pleasure to teach you. And so until we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye, praying that God's richest blessings shall rest upon you. Yours in truth, Otis Q. Sellers.